Alright guys, welcome back to the post-break part of the morning session of our S4-S8 Masters Oral Competition. Just a few reminders before we get started. One, we'd like to thank our sponsors who come together and allow us to do this competition. And those sponsors for this year are Agrium, Potash Corp, JR Simplot, and Coke. Also, if you did turn your cell phone on when you went out to break, could we please silence those cell phones to give attention to our speaker? Let's see. There's something else I need to mention, and I can't remember. Oh, the awards, or the I don't think it's the exact award, but it is the recognition and places will be announced in the business meeting. And that business meeting is when, Carl?
Is that 4 to 5 tomorrow?
4 to 5 tomorrow in which room? This room?
Actually, this room should be 129, A and B should be open.
Okay. So we'll have that business meeting then. Please, as a graduate student, I encourage y'all to attend that meeting to get involved with the administration process of how things work within our society, okay? To the speakers, if you weren't in here earlier, we have a pitcher of water up here, so if you get tongue-tied, if you get crossed up and just need to compose yourself, we do have a pitcher of water. All right, with that said, our next speaker is Ms. Cannon from the University of Tennessee Plant Soil Sciences Department, and she will be speaking on optimizing soybean yield with nitrogen applications. Okay, one thing I didn't say, if y'all were new, and this isn't getting into your time. I'm going to stand at 10 minutes.
Okay.
I'll move towards you at 12, and at 14:30, I'm coming with the hook.
Okay.
So for those of you who went in there.
Okay.
All right, you've got it.
All right, well, hello, everybody. Like you said, I'm Casey Cannon. I'm from the University of Tennessee, and I'm a graduate research assistant there. My master's thesis is focused on optimizing soybean yield with nitrogen applications. So to start out with some quick soybean facts, soybeans are an important world food and oil legume crop. There were 33 million hectares grown in the U.S. last year, and also soybeans are the number one most highly planted row crop in Tennessee, with 696,059 hectares harvested last year. And the majority of soy production is concentrated in the western and middle regions of our state. So as we all know, soybeans are a legume. This is why they form a symbiotic relationship with the rhizobium bacteria in the soil. As you can see at the top of the figure here, they attract the bacteria to the root hair. The bacteria then infects the root cells, and the result of the bacterial infection of the root cells forms a mature nodule you see at the bottom of the figure. And this is where the bacteria will live and thrive and fix the atmospheric nitrogen for the plants to use. So because of this relationship with the bacteria, why should we apply nitrogen to these nitrogen fixers? Well, higher yields may require more nitrogen than what that plant can provide through that nitrogen fixation process. And also stress conditions are hindering our nitrogen fixation process. We also have stress conditions hindering our soil solubility of nitrogen. And also we have a requirement for a higher quality grain because we have an ever-increasing world population. So to investigate the best technique to achieve high-yield soybeans has become of interest for some time now. There are several techniques that are being evaluated, as you can see at the top there. But supplementing nitrogen fertilizer has become more of an interest in research here recently. And there's three examples of research that has been conducted and is being conducted. And the most common nitrogen source that is being used is urea. And they are evaluating several different various rates in their research. But there at the bottom, Verbray and McClure found that Agritain-treated urea, they applied 150 actual pounds of nitrogen per acre, and it gave them about a 5 bushel per acre bump. So that's good that we're getting more beans per acre, but having that high of nitrogen rate is just not economical for our producers to use because of high, expensive fertilizer prices. So therefore, building on what we know, my master's thesis is focused on to see if we can get a same yield response with smaller rates of nitrogen and applying those rates at an at planting timing and an early season application. The 2015 and 2016 field trials were conducted in Milan and Jackson, Tennessee, under an irrigated full-season environment and also a dryland double-crop environment. And we used a randomized complete block design with four replications. The treatments that we evaluated were three various rates that you see it there, and we applied those at planting, an early vegetative growth stage, and an early reproductive growth stage. So this slide is showing our data collection methods we used to evaluate the treatment effects. As you can see, 2015 was less detailed than 2016. This year we added a nodule color analysis to see if the nitrogen was affecting the nodule production, seeing if we have more active or more adolescent nodules. And also we looked at total nodule weights. We used SAS 9.4 using the GLIMIX procedure to analyze the data. Type 3 statistics were used to test all fixed effects and those interactions between those fixed effects. Least square means was based on an alpha of 0.05, and that was utilized for mean separation. And also we used DANDASAS, which is a design and analysis macro developed by Dr. Arnold Saxton at the University of Tennessee to build our GLIMIX procedures. Here is our 2015-2016 ANOVA table showing the data compared across all years and all environments. You can see that there are significant differences between the years across all measurements, and also there are significant differences between the two environments across all measurements, but there are only a few significant differences seen among treatments. Also, this table is showing that there was a year and environment interaction on some of those measurements collected. So that year and environment interaction is showing that in 2015 and 2016, the dryland outproduced nodules compared to the irrigated environment in early season nodule production. But in 2015, the dry land produced more nodules than the irrigated, but the direct opposite happened this year where the irrigated produced more mid-season nodules than our dry land environment. And getting to yield, not very many differences in yield, but this year in our dry land environment, there were just a little bit more in our dry land environment produced. Moving on to how the nitrogen affects it our nodule production. This graph is showing the nitrogen effect on early season active nodules. On the y-axis, you can see the number of nodules per plant. The x-axis is showing our nitrogen rates that we use. The green bar is signifying our zero control. The blue bar is at our at planting timing, and our orange bar is at our V2 timing. As you can see, there's not any significant differences seen in the irrigated environment, but there is an overall trend that we can observe here. As we increased our nitrogen rates, our nodule production went down, our active nodule production went down. And that was also seen in our dryland environment, but there were some significant differences shown. And those significant differences are denoted by the stars above the bars. Again, as we increased our nitrogen rate, our active nodule production went down in the overall picture of things. Moving on to adolescent nodule production, if you don't have adolescence, you don't have maturity. So in our irrigated environment, the same it was seen here. As we increased our rates, our adolescent nodule production went down. Again, same overall picture that is seen in our dry land. As we increased our rate, our production went down compared to our zero control. So moving on to the environment, not only did the nitrogen affect our nodule production, but the environment did too. In both years, the dry land outproduced the irrigated environment. And this is probably due to the irrigated having more timely applications of moisture, and those irrigated plants weren't having to depend so much on that relationship they are forming with that rhizobium bacteria. As where the dry land is probably, there's not as much moisture running through that system, so it's more dependent on that relationship it has with the bacteria. So even though we negatively impacted nodule production with our treatments, we positively impacted our plant growth and development. As we increased our nitrogen rate, our plant growth and development increased. Just a few, these two high and low rates that we had, the high rate applied at planting produced the tallest plants at R1 and the most biomass at R1. The mid rate of nitrogen applied at R2 produced the shortest plants at R6 and the least biomass at R6. But the overall picture here is as we increased our nitrogen, our plant biomass increased, so we're increasing our canopy and increasing our full light interception, so therefore increasing high photosynthesis rate, which is an important component in higher yielding soybeans. But in this research that we have conducted so far, it's not correlating to our yield numbers just yet, but it is a key component in high-yielding soybeans for that high photosynthesis rate. So in summary, supplemental nitrogen is a highly considered research technique for higher-yielding soybeans. As we increased our nitrogen, active, adolescent, and our total nodule production was reduced. Year and environment had a significant effect on our nodule production, and nitrogen had a significant effect on plant growth and development. It increased our plant growth and development. But supplemental nitrogen did not significantly affect our yield. And we're going to have continued data analysis to look at those yield numbers to see if we're missing something there. And I would like to thank the Tennessee Soybean Promotion Board for funding this project and also these select few individuals listed here, because I know without them, my work would not have been possible. So thank you, and I'll take any questions.
Do we have any questions?
Yes, sir. The simple message is don't apply nitrogen to your soybeans.
Well, you're going to decrease your nodule production, but we do need to further research to see, you know, to look at those numbers to see if it is affecting our yield. So.
Alan, I'll get back to you. We got plenty of time.
Have you looked at the residual nitrogen, the environmental aspect of these?
We have taken soil samples, but we have.
No sample at the end of the.
Sir.
After harvest.
After harvest, no, sir. We did not. I believe we'll take soil samples before we plant, but not right after harvest.
Because the question is there any environmental concerns with putting soil on nitrogen?
That is something that we need to look at, and I haven't looked at it as of now. But I would be happy to get back with you after I've researched that.
Well, let's go to Alan, and then we'll come back to you.
Yes, so you used urea as the source of nitrogen in your crop, right?
Yes, sir.
It looked in your data as if there was less effect on nodules with V2 application.
Yes, sir.
And application at planting. Have you thought about maybe making that application even later, say, just before flowering?
Yes, sir. Well, we did apply.
Perhaps having even less impact on nodules.
Right. We did apply at R2, but did not take the color analysis at those later sampling date. So that is something that we could look at later in further research. Yes, sir.
Two-part question. Just to follow up on Alan's comment, why did you choose the application timings that you did? And then also, when did you take your nodule assessments in relation to your application timings?
Nodule samplings were about a month and a half after we applied our nitrogen. And we looked at those rates because at planting, and a V2 and an R2 at planting is a viable time, getting that germination, getting a quick up out of the ground. If you're limited by that nitrogen, you're wanting to get that supplemental there. V2 is a critical, vulnerable stage of the plant, so helping it get through that early vegetative stage, and then that reproductive stage we're looking at right before we're looking at a pod fill. So given that the highest demand of nitrogen for that soybean plant is in that pod fill stage, so we're supplementing that nitrogen there to intercept that deficiency if there is one.
All right, I got a question. What maturity group soybeans were these?
They were Asgrow 4632s.
Okay.
So, yes.
Tell them what I mean.
Okay.
I think there would be any difference between a determinant and
there might be, yes, sir. Yes. I'm not sure on that the answer for that question, but I could research for you.
Okay. Do we have any more questions? Go ahead, Carl.
You looked at biomass and height, but you know if anyone's looked at the density of flowers or...
No, sir, I don't. I haven't come across any research of that.